connect, hopefully, a bit to the joy of Purim. So, the verse and the Megillah really are unclear as to the identity of Mordechai. The verse says, Ishihu Hayah B'Shushan Abira, a man of Yehuda was in the capital Shushan. So that sounds like he's from the tribe of Yehuda. But then it says, Ushmo, and his name was Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish Ishimini, a whole list of names, and saying he's a man of Binyamin. So was he from Yehuda, or was he from Binyamin? The Gemara gives a whole bunch of explanations. The Gemara says maybe his father was from Binyamin, his mother was from Yehuda, and the Gemara says maybe he's really from Binyamin, but he's called Yehudi because Yehudi relates to anyone who rejects Avodah Zarah, who's very loyal to Hashem. He rejected even bowing to Haman, even though it wasn't really Avodah Zarah, but it looked like Avodah Zarah, so he's also called Ish Yehudi. My teacher, Rabbi Silver, suggested that we know the Navi Yechezkel was told by God, take one piece of wood and write on it, Yehuda, to Yehuda, all Beis Yisrael, all the Jews, the Gera, the friends of Yehuda, write on another piece of wood for Yosef and all of the Jews are his friends, and take the two pieces of wood, Yehuda and Yosef, bring them together, v'hayu la'achadim biyadecha. They should become one in your hand. So the goal is that v'lo yechatzu l'shtei malachim. They should not be divided anymore into two kingdoms. If you look at the book of Malachim, we find that one of the themes in the book of Malachim is the divide between the Bnei Yosef and the Bnei Yehuda. So the Bnei Yehuda are in the south, in Yerushalayim, and the southern Hebron area, the Hebron Hills. And in the north, you have the area of the Bnei Yosef. So for example, Yeravam ben Nevat, who started the northern kingdom, he was from Ephraim, he's from the tribe of Yosef. Achav bar Amri is from Menashe, he's also from Yosef. Most of the leaders of the Malchus Yisrael, the Israelite kingdom, the northern kingdom, were Bnei Yosef, and of course the southern kingdom was Malchei Beis David. So in the future, the Navi is told, there won't be any more two kingdoms, there won't be a divide between the Bnei Yosef and the Bnei Yehuda. Take the two pieces of wood, combine them, and they are to become one. So there's a lot to discuss in terms of what do they each represent separately, and then what do they represent once they come together. So one idea is that Malchus Yehuda represents all sorts of hidden things. This is my decision. You can't understand why. This is the way I want it to be. For example, you think about the whole birth of David. Where does David come from? He comes from Rus. He comes from Moab. Now Moab is seemingly the opposite of where you'd think redemption would come from. The act of Lot with his daughters, incest, the first night is Moab, and the second night, Ammon.
It's under the radar, for sure.
It's certainly not what we would expect, but this is, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. When it's time to bring Mashiach, Hashem's going to bring Mashiach, it's going to be his ways, his thoughts, it doesn't make sense to us. He has his own plans, and he has his tikkunim that he wants to fix, and this is the way it had to be. We find that Yehuda has two sons who die because they don't agree to impregnate Tamar. And then, again, a very strange act. Yehuda, the father-in-law, has relations with Tamar, and out of that, they have a son, Peretz, who's named Peretz because Ma'paratzta Alecha Paretz. Why did you break forth? You breached forth. You were supposed to be the second. You jumped ahead. You came out first. And your son, your brother Zarah, is still holding on to your ankle. Maybe the word Peretz is connected to the idea of a king. The Gemara says about a king, Melech Poretz V'Oser Lo Gadar. A king, Oser Lo Derech. A king can make a hole in a fence, choose to make his own path. He can seize territory. And that's the nature of David and Mashiach. They're doing all sorts of very important work. But it's beyond the norms. It's breaking all sorts of rules, stuffed with Batsheva, etc. Breaking all sorts of rules, but it's the way Hashem wanted it to be. It's beyond our understanding. The contrast to that is Yosef. So we find with Yosef also that there is a degree of breaking a fence. But when Yosef breaks a fence, it's ultimately to really reveal what is the normative halacha. So for example, think about the daughters, we'll start with the sons of Yosef. The sons of Yosef, who were transporting Yosef in the desert, so they were tamei, so they were unable to bring Karban Pesach. So they go to Moshe and they say, Lamani gara, why should we be left out? Here are the laws of bringing Karban Pesach, why not us too? We should also be able to bring Karban Pesach. Now they were tamei, and they were not allowed to bring the Karban Pesach. But they're saying, we want to break the rules. Find a way for us to bring a Karban Pesach. So in the end, a new halacha is developed. That if somebody is Tameh, can't bring Karban Pesach on Pesach, but a month later, he has Pesach Sheni. And then he can bring Karban Pesach. Another example of this, of you know the Bnei Yosef breaking a rule, but ultimately revealing through their questioning of you know what the normative halach is the daughters of Tzlafchad. Tzlafchad is from Menashe, again from Yosef. The daughters of Tzlafchad also say, why should we be left out? Our father died, it's true, but he didn't have any sons. He does have daughters. Daughters should be able to get the inheritance. Why should our father's inheritance be gone? And again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees with that request. And says, fine, if there's only a daughter, the daughter inherits, but the daughter has to marry within the tribe. The Bnei Menashe come and complain. If they're going to marry outside of the tribe, they're going to lose land. So they have to marry within the tribe. And again, you know, a new halacha is being developed. So you have the Bnei Yosef complaining about Karban Pesach, the daughters of Tzlafchad complaining about not inheriting, the other members of the tribe complaining that if the daughters of Tzlafchad inherit, then the land is going to leave the tribe. And each time, they go to Moshe, and he goes to Hashem, and in the end, their questions really were the halacha. Yes, daughters should inherit the land. If they do inherit the land, they have to marry within the tribe. If someone's tamei, can't bring Karban Pesach, but he'll get a second chance to bring it, Pesach Sheni. And ultimately, they merit to reveal the halacha. Maybe this is connected to the pasuk. The pasuk about Yosef is Ben Poras Yosef. Yosef is the fruitful son. Ben Poras Ale Ayin. The son who transcends over the eye. Banos Tzadza Ale Shur. Daughters have walked over the wall. So Chazal are saying maybe, Chazal say about this pasuk, that when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to enter the land of Israel, the Jordan River was a shore, was a wall to prevent Yosef, I'm sorry, prevent Moshe from entering into the land of Israel. So Yaakov said to Yosef, but your descendants are going to be on both sides, because you're going to have Chatzi Shevet Menashe getting land on the other side of the Jordan, and the other half of Menashe gets land in on the Eretz Canaan side of the Jordan. So, Banos Tzada Leishur. Your daughters, they're standing on the wall. They're on both sides of the wall. They straddle both sides of the fence. So we can say like this. Maybe the biggest wall is the halacha. Halacha is the greatest wall. And yet the daughters of Tzlafchad come, the daughters of Yosef, and they say, why should we not get part of the land? We deserve the land because there are no sons. Therefore, Ben Poras Ole Ayin, they saw more than what the eye of Moshe Rabbeinu saw. They saw that as daughters, they should be entitled to the land. And Banos Tzadza Ali Shur, they were able to see beyond the law, beyond the wall. But in the end, they stood on the wall because they developed a new halacha. The halacha was revealed the way they were protesting. But with Yehuda, the verse says, with my God, Adaleik Shur, I will jump over a wall. In In other words, Yehuda jumps over the wall, he does things that are against the halacha, and even ultimately, they're against the halacha, but even though they're against the halacha, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. And according to the Kabbalah, this is sort of the Torah of Mashiach. The Torah of Mashiach is a Torah that's hidden beyond the human understanding. The verse says in Yeshaya, Torah me'iti teitzei, the Torah is going to come out from me. It's Hashem's understanding of how it's right. For us, for our understanding, we can't understand. Ultimately, though, we combine Yehuda and Yosef, but Yehuda has to be the ruler. So maybe we can connect this to a Gemara in the end of Tanis. The Gemara says in the end of Tanis, the most joyous days on the calendar were the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. What's so special about the 15th of Av? So one idea the Gemara says is that on the 15th of Av, this law, that if a girl inherits land, she has to marry within the tribe, was annulled. On the 15th of Av, girls and boys were able to marry from tribe to tribe. So in other words, the children of Yosef, the Bnei Menashe, they come and they protest. They say, no, it's not right that the daughters of Tzlafet are going to get land. They get land, and they marry people from other tribes, and this land is going to be lost from our tribe. So Moshe says, okay, you're protesting against the halacha. You're really right. I'm going to ask Hashem. Hashem says, you're really right. If a girl inherits, she has to marry within the tribe. But it turns out, really, it wasn't the halacha. Because ultimately, a generation later, it gets reversed. And now, girls can marry outside of the tribe. It was only for one generation. So this is already more like the ways of Yehuda than the ways of Yosef. Because the ways of Yehuda are, sometimes there is a misdeed. Let's say Yehuda and Tamar, or Lot with his daughters. In that moment, it was the wrong thing. But out of it came the right thing. So this is, in a certain sense, the union of Yosef and Yehuda. And on the one hand, the Bnei Yosef are challenging the law and revealing a new law. But ultimately, this new law that they reveal is really not a law. It's really rejected. It's only for one generation. It's like the ways of Yehuda of breaking a fence to make a path. Poretz Geder. And so maybe that's why on this day was the day of such tremendous joy. Because when you can combine Yosef and Yehuda, it's a little bit of the ultimate redemption. Bringing together the big divide throughout Jewish history. The Bnei Yosef together with the Bnei Yehuda. The Zohar teaches that during exile, Binyamin takes the place of Yosef. We find that when Yosef was sold down to Egypt, Binyamin had 10 sons, and he named each son a different aspect of the fact that Yosef was missing. So we can say that when Yosef is in exile, Binyamin is the one who now takes the role of Yosef. So when the Jews were in exile, it's the children of Binyamin who are filling the role of Yosef. And the real goal is to combine Binyamin with Yehuda, just like the goal was to combine Yosef with Yehuda. We find that after the whole miracle, the verse says that there were two sets of letters. So the Gemara explains that first Esther wrote down the story, and Esther sent a letter to all the rabbis saying, Kasvuni l'doros, include me in the canon of Tanakh. I should be part of the 24 books. So the Gemara says initially they didn't want to do it because there's a verse in Mishlei. The verse says in Mishlei, Halo, kasavti lach shalishi. Behold, I've written for you the story three times. So the traditional understanding of that is that the story of Amalek is written three times. Once in Shalach, once in Kiseitze, and once in the book of Shmuel. Shalisha v'lo rabim. So she was saying, break the rules. The rule is to write it three times. But this is the normal way of the Bnei Yosef. The rule doesn't make sense. They're challenging the authority. It's not right that we don't inherit. It's not right that these girls are not going to marry within us. It's not right that we're not going to bring Karban Pesach. So they looked. The Gemara says ultimately they found another pasuk. So zos zikaron basefer. Write this, a memorial, in a book. So the Gemara says zos means Torah Shabbat. The five books of the Torah. Zikaron is Navi, Shmua. Basefer is Ksuvim. There's nothing in the writings. So therefore, must be Megillas Esther is to be accepted, and it becomes the writings. So here again, this is the ways of Yosef. They challenge a law, break through a fence, and then reveal that that breakthrough really was the halacha all along. On the other hand, you can say, though, it wasn't really a full breakthrough. Because Megillas Esther is not fully like a regular Torah. The Gemara says Megillas Esther has aspects like a Torah, Nikrei Sefer, and Nikrei Sigeres. It also has aspects like a letter. Nikrei Sefer, it's called a Sefer. You have to use sinews to sew the parchments to each other. But it's also called a letter. You can have a little bit of... You don't have to have, you know, the thread, the stitching going over the entire cloth. You can have it go just three stitches, and that's really enough to combine the cloth. So maybe that fact that it's not fully like a Sefer Torah is again the aspect of Yehuda, that there's an element of a law being broken here. So in light of all of this introduction, Yosef is challenging the laws and then discovering that the challenges really are the laws. Yehuda is to break laws because sometimes it's necessary to break the laws for Hashem's purposes, es lasus l'Hashem, for the sake of God. Sometimes the law has to be broken. And the goal is to combine the two, to combine the B'nai Yosef and the B'nai Yehuda to get to Geula. That's why Mordechai is both Ish Yehudi and Ish Yemini. He's a man from Yehuda, but his mother is from Yehuda, but his father is from Binyamin. In Mordechai, you had this union of Yosef with Yehuda, or Binyamin with Yehuda. The Gemara says, also about Mordechai, maybe why he was called Ish Yehudi is that Muchtar Benimusohaya, he was royal in his mannerisms. He was like an aristocratic person. So Mukhtar, he had a crown. Mukhtar, literally, he had a crown. So the crown perhaps is the idea of two kings using the same crown. The sun and the moon couldn't get along. How can we have two kings using the same crown? So the moon had to be reduced. So maybe that's like Yosef and Yehuda. Two kings with two different crowns. Yeravam has a crown and Rechavam has a crown. But when they are combined into a single kingdom, and when they're combined into a single kingdom, all you need is one crown. So Mordechai is Muchtar Benimuso. He's crowned with his character. He merits to have the single crown. We find that Mordechai causes the whole miracle. And by causing the whole miracle, the 10 sons of Haman get hung and they get killed. And so we can say that if you look at the gematria, Aseres, B'nei Haman, equals in gematria the words Da'as together with Malchus. So that perhaps that's the combination of the Malchus is the moon, and Da'as represents the sun. And combining the sun and the moon, combining these two crowns to make them all totally as one. We find that when it comes to the 10 sons of Haman, we say it all in one breath. One long breath. In other words, there's such a tremendous life of the defeat of the sons of Haman that it combines Yosef and Yehuda. And by combining Yosef and Yehuda, we combine it all together to say that we can go from the sun all the way to the moon. We can go all the way from the level of Da'as all the way to the level of Malchus, combine it all together to hopefully bring a little bit of the light of redemption. So that's one idea, that really Purim is a little bit of the future redemption. So the commentators suggest, the Rambam tells us, that all the holidays in the future are going to be annulled, except for Purim. And it's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says in the Megillah, the Zichram lo yasif mizar, their memory won't leave from their descendants. What does it mean that the days of Purim are going to be annulled? I mean, how could the other holidays be annulled? We know that the Rambam tells us that whatever mitzvahs we have in the Torah are eternal, they're never going to change. So how could the mitzvah of Purim be annulled? The other holidays be annulled. So what some suggest is, no, of course we're going to keep Pesach, we're going to keep Shavuos, Sukkot, we're going to keep the holidays. But the light of Mashiach is going to be so great that relative to the light of Mashiach, their light is going to be dull. It's going to be annulled, it'll be batel, it'll be overwhelmed by the tremendous light of the coming of Mashiach. But Purim will not be annulled by the light of Mashiach. Because we have a rule that min demino eno batel. When you mix an item with the same type of item, a type with its own type, it doesn't lose its identity. So since Purim itself is a little bit of the times of Mashiach, that's why when we have the full light of Mashiach, it won't be able to extinguish the light of Purim. Maybe this is all hinted in this idea that at the light of Purim we have the combination of Binyamin and Yehuda, the combination of Yosef together with Yehuda, the Bnei Rachel with the Bnei Leah, combining the Bnei Rachel and the Bnei Leah, combining what Yosef contributes together with what Yehuda contributes and making them all one. That's the way to have a little bit of light of the full redemption. That's one idea. He's a Mashiach type person of combining Bnei Yosef with Bnei Yehuda. Yes, Mordechai is certainly a Mashiach-type person. We see that in his tremendous sense of faith in Hashem, his courage, willingness to resist bowing to Haman. That's certainly Mashiach-type of behaviors, Mashiach level of faith and trust in the Almighty, for sure. So there's a very strange Gemara. Everybody talks about this Gemara. There's a famous Gemara, the Gemara in Daf Zayin of Maseches Megillah. The Gemara introduces the idea that Chayav Inish Levesumi B'Puraya, a person has to get so drunk during the Purim meal, Adelo Yada, until he doesn't know the difference between Arur Haman Levaruch Mordechai, between cursing his Haman and blessing Mordechai. So he basically, it sounds like he has to be so drunk that he's saying cursed Mordechai and blessed Haman. Totally, totally drunk. The Gemara seems to give an example of that. Mara says that Rabban Reb Zeira avdu sudas Purim b'hadi adadu. Rabban Reb Zeira made a Purim party together. So apparently they got drunk. So if Sunda got drunk, come Rabba. Rabba got up, shachted Reb Zeira, and he slaughtered Reb Zeira. So he did a shechit on Reb Zeira. Macha the next morning, boy Rachmi David v'achye. He brought him back to life. Shana Achmitza, the next year, Rabba said to Reb Zeira, you know, let's have Purim together. He said, miracles don't always happen.
I gotta go.
That's right. Lo b'chol shaita, I can't rely on a miracle every moment. You know, it was a little dangerous last year. You got excited, you took out the shechita knife, and you demonstrated shechita on me. So, you know, thank God, the next morning you were able to bring me back to life. I don't want to take any risks this year. So this is a very strange Gemara, for obvious reasons. And commentators try to understand, like, what can we pull out of this Gemara? What does that mean, that Rav is shechted with Zera? So here's a Torah from Stachina Rebbe. Why would Rav be busy with Shechita? Right? The simple reading of the Gemara is that he got drunk, and he grabbed the Shechita knife, and he shechted with Zera. So what does Purim have to do with Shechita? Why on Purim is he thinking about Shechita and takes the Shechita knife to kill Reb Zeira? Seems very, very strange. So he suggested the following idea. Again, as we've been saying, really the light of Purim is a little bit of the light of Mashiach. The light of the full redemption. The joy of Purim is a bit of the joy of Mashiach. The Medrash tells us that the verse says in Tehillim, "Hakel tamim darko," God, His ways are perfect. Imras Hashem tufa, the word of God is to purge, it's to cleanse. So Amar David, David HaMelech said, "Bishvil litzof briyosa," the purpose of the mitzvah is to make us into better people. Really, from God's point of view, He doesn't need any of this. But we need it. We need the discipline of mitzvos to make us into better people. So says the Medrash. Ma'ich maslei la'kadosh baruch hu shliyoch Yisrael b'lo shchita. Why would God care for shchita and the technicals of shchita? If you use a knife, the knife has to be smooth. It can't pull out any part of the pipes. It has to slit the majority of the two, you know, pipes, the majority of the windpipe, the majority of the esophagus. Why would God care? You know, as far as God's concerned, a person could just, you know, bop an animal over the head and cut off a piece and eat it. After all, the answer is like this. God doesn't need it, but the Jewish people need it. The Jews were given the mitzvah of Shechita and all the details of Shechita to purify the Jewish nation. That's what the Medrash says. Then the Medrash says further, in the future, when Mashiach's going to come, so there's going to be a big meal from two creatures, the Leviathan and this special ox called Shor Habor, or an eel, it's called Bahamos. This huge animal. Now, what are you going to do? How are you going to shecht? These creatures are so big. So you're not going to have shechita then. So you see that you only need to have shechita when you need to have shechita. It's because it's for your sake. Once you're already purified, you're not going to need shechita. That's the one medrash. Then there's another medrash. This medrash is a wild medrash. The medrash says that this Shor Habor and the Leviathan are going to be the delicacies for the righteous in the world to come. And if you didn't get enjoyment in this world, you'll get those enjoyments in the next world. So what happens is going to be like this. The ox is going to smash the Leviathan with its horn. And by doing that, it's going to tear open the Leviathan to be able to eat from the Leviathan. Whereas the Leviathan is going to get so angry about this, you know, attack, he's going to take his fins. And with the fins of the Leviathan, he's going to slash the ox. So the tzaddikim are going to say, is this a kosher shechita? How can this be a kosher shechita? It says in the Maseches Chulin, you can do shechita with any type of a sharp instrument, but it can't be something with a nick, it can't be something with edges, it can't be serrated. The fins of the Leviathan are serrated. Said Rav Avin, Hashem's going to say, don't worry. I paskin, it's okay. And Torah chadasha me'iti teiz. When I'm giving rulings, new rules now. Now you can use the blade of the fins of the Leviathan to slaughter the Shor Habor, and you can eat from this meat. So apparently, there's some special shechita of the future. The shechita of the blades of the Leviathan, the fins of the Leviathan, slaughtering the neck of the Shor Habor. And this is the shechita that Hashem says is going to be okay for the Seudas Leviathan, for the special meal of the tzaddikim in the future. So if that's the case, you can say it like this. We have a concept of shechita nowadays. But maybe in shechita we don't have the full concept of shechita. We now have one level of shechita. But shechita reminds us that come Mashiach is going to be a whole new level of shechita. Hashem's going to reveal a new level of shechita. Shechita of the blades of the Leviathan slaughtering the Shor Habor. Now the truth really is that the Gemara says there's no need to talk about the fins of the fish. The Gemara says any fish that has scales already has fins. So why did the Torah say the kosher fish and the fish with the scales and the fins? It could have just had the scales. It has scales. It has fins. So where it says, Yagdu Torah v'yadu. Hashem sometimes puts in extra words because Torah is going to get bigger to increase the size of Torah. So we can say that maybe what the Gemara is teaching us is that since we don't really don't need to talk about the fins. Once you say that the fish has scales, you know it's kosher, because then it automatically has fins. So why did Torah talk about fins? Because in the future we're going to need the fins. We're going to need the fins to slaughter the shorabar. So the fins of the fish are really a reminder of the Torah of the future, of Yagdil, Torah of Yad. So maybe, yeah?
Shkita is not discussed in the Torah.
Not explicitly.
Right, but it's such an important thing.
The Torah does mention it, though, because the Torah says, V'zavachta v'achalta ha'asher t'visicha. You should slaughter and eat the way I've commanded you. And where else does Hashem ever command it about slaughtering? So that's in regards to Karbanos. In regards to Karbanos, Hashem said, V'shachat. So he said, there V'shachat. So ha'asher t'visicha, it's saying that when you eat also, it has to be like the Karbanos, it has to be with Shkita.
It's such an important aspect of Karbanos and eating.
Yes.
You think it would give one pasuk, you have to cut the windpipe and the aorta at the same time with the sharp knife or something.
Well, maybe to show us the importance of the oral Torah. Our sanctuary, Frail Hirsch, points out that, you know, the first sin, Chava, eating from the tree, was really a violation of oral Torah. Because God had never said to Chava explicitly, don't eat from the tree. God had told Adam. Adam told Chava. She was violating oral Torah. She was violating an oral transmission. So, you know, that could be a very important concept, especially Shkita represents, you know, our trust in the oral Torah, in the oral tradition. I think you'll find that, certainly in the 20th century, when societies want to attack Jews, they go after Shkita. They just did it now in Brussels. It's amazing. Brussels is the seat of the European Parliament. The European Union, it's housed in Brussels. So these great liberal, progressive, freedom-loving individuals have made it illegal in Brussels to do Shkita. Unbelievable. Amazing. The whole article that the Jewish community is shrinking. You know, the shuls are closing, the school closed.
Muslims.
Yeah.
Amazing. The mayor of
Brussels? I thought of London.
The mayor of Antwerp, I believe, is Muslim.
Really? It's very, very difficult.
They infiltrated in an educational way. They went to schools and colleges.
Sure.
We infiltrated the government.
Yeah. It's
we're not the normal society. We didn't help by riots or anything like that.
Yeah, it's taken over.
Banking, everything.
It's an amazing thing. It's really amazing. These Europeans, the anti-Semitism.
Well, they're going to get more.
It's remarkable. I don't know if you saw this whole thing with this band, the Shalva band. They wanted to compete in the Eurovision. They said we keep Shabbos. The whole purpose of the Eurovision is inclusivity and tolerance. How about being inclusive of religious Jews? No. You can't keep Shabbos and compete. No. You have to drop out. So they dropped out. Kept Shabbos over competing. But it's really remarkable. So the Tichina Rebbe, he's great with all these hints. He said the phrase in the Torah for scales is kaskeses. Kaskeses in gematria is 1,200. Kuf shin is 400. Kuf shin is 400. And tuf is 400. So it's 1,200. Three times tuf is kaskeses. Snapir, term for fins, is also 400. So resh is 200. Yud is 10, 210. Pei is 80, so it's 290. Nun is 50, 340. Samach is 60, it's 400. So snapir and kaskeses together is 1600. Four times the letter tuf. Now maybe because the Torah begins by describing Gan Eden as having four rivers. The Zohar says, the four rivers of Gan Eden are the place where the fish are swimming. Zohar says that the four people who go into the garden, Masechet Chagiga, the Gemara mentions four Tzanaim who went into the secrets, Arba Nichnasu LaPardes. There's Acher, who became a heretic. There's Rabbi Akiva, went in peace and went out in peace. There's Ben Azai and Ben Zoma, one went crazy, one died. So those four, the Zohar says, are the four rivers. We're going into four rivers. Four rivers represent the four levels of understanding Torah: Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod. The Zohar says Rabbi Akiva, he came in peace because he reached Sod. He reached the fourth river. So you can say like this, the fourth river, the Sod, that represents the secrets of the Torah. The secrets of the Torah is Hashem's Torah. That's the Torah of the future. The Torah of the future, Hashem's going to make the secrets of the Torah more accessible, more understandable. So now let's understand. The snapir, the fins, is the fourth tough, it's the fourth 400. It represents the fourth river. The fourth river, the secrets of the Torah, which is the Toros of the future, the Toros of Mashiach. So what did the Gemara say? We don't need the word snapir. We have the word kaskasa, scales. You know, if it has scales, it obviously has fins. What does it know? It said snapir. Yagdil Torah v'yadir, to increase Torah to make it bigger. The first letter is Yagdil Torah v'yadir, spell out the word tough. We have Yagdil Torah v'yadir for the tough, the fourth tough of the snapir, namely the secrets of the future. So what's the month of Adar? The month of Adar, Mazel Adar, is Dagim. It's the month of fish. It's the root of all the fish. The root of all the fish is the Livyasan. That's what the Pasuk says. Livyasan yatsar telasachik bo. You created the Livyasan to have joy with it. So Misha nichnas Adar. When Adar comes in, marbim besimcha. We increase our joy because we start thinking of the fish. Thinking of the fish, we say, oh, it's got not only scales, it also has fins. Why does it have fins? So in the future, the fins are going to be used to shecht the sharabar. The fins of the fish, this is the future laws, the laws of, you know, from the Kabbalah. That's the right thing to do for the moment. In the times of Mashiach, for a moment, Hashem's going to say, the shkita of the Levyasin is okay on the sharabar. So the fins remind us of the future. So maybe Yagdil Torah, the whole idea of fins, the Gemara says, is for Yagdil Torah v'yadir. He'll increase the Torah to make it great. Yadir is the word Adar. He'll make Adar. Mishenichlas Adar, Marbin, the Simcha. So once you have Adar, you start thinking about the Mazel, the horoscope, Pisces, you think of fish. You think of fish, you start thinking of the fins of the fish. Why do we have fins? We just need to have scales. Oh, the fins, because in the future we're going to have the fins. The Shech B'Shar Abar. We start thinking about the future. Oh, we're thinking about the future that creates Simcha. Shinech Nasadar, Marv Nasimcha. When we have Adar, we have joy because we start to feel the future of Mashiach. So maybe we can even hit this in the Megillah. The verse says, Pashegen Aksav. This was the sent out document. V'inasein Das to make a law, B'chal Medino Medina. In every country, every state, that the Jews should be fulfilling, should celebrate these days. Now, Das is the letters Dalid Tuf. Four hundreds. Make a law of four hundreds. What are the four hundreds? Kaskeses, together with Snapir. The word Kaskeses is 1200. Snapir is 400. So the gematria that is four times 400. And what do we say? Das Galui Amim, reveal to all the nations. In other words, this religion, the future, the four hundreds, the future Torah, it's going to be the revelation of all the secrets of the Torah. For the Jews to be primed for this future day, they should be ready for this future day of the future, and there'll be a new type of Shita. So in light of this, maybe we can understand why Rabbah, when he's drinking on Purim, he's thinking about Shechita. Because the whole idea of Purim is it's the time of the fish. When he thinks about the fish, he thinks about the scales, he thinks about the scales, he thinks about the fins. There's no need for fins, the Torah could have just said scales. Oh, there's a need for fins in the future. In the future, the fins of the Levyasan are going to Shecht, the Shor Abar. Oh, there's a new Torah, the Torah of the future. So come Rabba, get so excited about Shechita. And Nebuch, you went too far. Shachtei the Ribzei. So in light of this idea that Shechita is connected to the future, Purim is connected to the future of the joy of Mashiach, maybe that can explain another aspect about Shechita, which is very strange. In Karbanos, Shechita is a very key part. It's one of the avodos. If a person shechts with the wrong kavanos, the wrong intention, the carbon is ruined. It's one of the key acts of service. But yet, Shechita doesn't have to be done by a kohen. Every other act of service, the catching of the blood, the walking of the blood, the throwing of the blood, has to be done by kohanim. But the Shechita does not have to be done by a kohen. Shechita doesn't have to be done by a kohen. So what's pshat? Says the Gemara, Shechita lav avodah. Shechita is not an avodah. It's not a service. So apparently we haven't gotten the full level of Shechita. We haven't yet reached the full Shechita. Because the full Shechita is the ultimate Shechita. The Shechita using the fins of the Levyasa. We haven't gotten there yet. So we have a Shechita now that's not a full avodah. It's not the full level. Think about when you have a bird, so then the carbon of a bird is not slaughtered. Rather, what's done to it is malika, with the fingernail, with the thumbnail, it's severed. For a regular person, to eat such a thing is not allowed. It's eating nevela. But a kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, he's allowed to eat it. Because apparently, kohanim are on another level. They can eat things that for us are not a shechita. They can eat things that in the future will be a shechita. Just like in the future, the Vyasan's fins are going to be a kosher knife, even though nowadays it wouldn't be a kosher knife. In the future, there'll be the kosher, the malika will also be a kosher shechita, with the fingernails. But they're already connected to the future. And we're all going to get to that level. The pasuk says, "V'atem tiyu limam lechas kohanim," and you will be for me a kingdom of kohanim. The whole Jewish nation are going to be a kingdom of kohanim. We find, so now we have multiple types of shechita. There's shechita with a knife. There's malika with the thumbnail. There's another type of shechita, and that is taking the fistful of flour from a karban mincha, the kmitza. The kmitza, the taking of the fistful of flour, has many, many parallels to the concept of shechita. Which shechita is in an animal, that's what kmitza, taking the fistful, is in a mincha. Now the kmitza also has to be done by a kohen. That's also connected to the future. And the Gemara says that the whole story when Haman came to put Mordechai on the horse was on the second day of Pesach. So the second day of Pesach, what was the carbon that was brought? The Minchas HaOmer. So Mordechai was showing the Rabbanan the laws of Knitza. And Haman came in and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, we had a Beis HaMikdash, a poor person, bring a Mincha. Fistful of flour would be taken out, thrown onto the Mizbeach." Haman said, "Your fistful of flour was more radiant, more significant than my 10,000 kikars, my 10,000 loaves of silver." So you see that what defeated Haman? What defeated Haman was the kmitza of flour. So that's an amazing thing. Kmitza is a form of shechita. You see that the shechita was able to defeat Haman. Because Haman, again, is a Malik. That's only from this world. When you bring a light of the next world, the light of a Shechita of the next world, that can defeat Haman. That can knock out Haman, and then the Jews go to freedom. So maybe we can say like this, that there is Malika, that's to kill the bird with the thumb. There's Kmitza, to take the fistful of flour. There's the Shechita of the Levyasan, because that's really the ultimate shkita, shkita of the future. There's a fourth type of shkita, the chopping off of the head of an egla rufa. If you find an animal that, find a dead body, you don't know where it came from, you have to bring a calf. And the Torah says that the Kohanim have to come and they have to chop off the head. So why do the Kohanim have to do it? Maybe that's showing that that's a certain element of shkita again. So if you look at these four types of shkita, arifas egla, chopping off the calf, malika, severing the head, livyasan, the fins of the livyasan, and kmitza, and the fistful, spells out, amam. Ayin, mem, lamed, kuf. So there's arifa, malika, livyasan, kmitza. So through the laws just of one of these, just the laws of kmitza, we're able to knock out the amalek of Hama. So certainly if you have all four types of shkita together, certainly that can wipe out Haman. So maybe this is why Rabba was so busy with shkita. Because Rabba was a Kohen. So he figured, nowadays, the shkita doesn't need to be done by Kohen. There's a future shkita with new rules. The shkita of the Levyasan. Maybe the shkita of the Levyasan is going to be done with Kohanim, because nowadays the shkita can be done by a Yisrael. But Malika can't be done by Yisrael. Arifas Egla can't be done by Yisrael. Kmitza can't be done by Yisrael. Shkita also shouldn't be able to be done by Yisrael. But the reason why shkita now can be done by Yisrael, we don't have the full shkita. But in the future, we're going to have the full shkita, the shkita of the Levyasan. So he was with his knife getting ready for the shkita of the Levyasan, because he was a Kohen. Maybe this is also Rabba is in Gematria Zah, a stranger. Because Rabba was trying to fix the idea of Shkita Bazaar. You can have Shkita with a stranger, with a non-Kohen. He wanted to fix it. But he got too caught up with the idea of Shkita, and he ended up Shechting Reb Zeira. Maybe we could add to this another aspect. There is one time when the Kohen needs to do the Shkita of Karbanos. That's in Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to do everything. He has to do the Shkita of the Karbanos too. Maybe why? Because Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim, a day like Purim. So since it's a day like Purim, it's a day when you have the light of Mashiach, it's the day when the Kohanim are doing Shkita. Maybe that's the idea. It's the day when the Kohanim are doing Shkita. And that's what Rabbah wanted to do. Shkita, but again, went too far. Come Rabba, Shachtel Reb Zeira. He slaughtered Reb Zeira, and he had to bring Reb Zeira back to life. Right, this is again, this is a Purim thought. The theme of both Purim thoughts is Purim is the light of Mashiach. Since it's a little bit of the light of Mashiach, it's the time when Binyamin combines with Yehuda. Since it's a little bit of the light of Mashiach, it's a time when a whole new level. It's Shkita is going to be right, then. A new level of Shkita. The Shkita of the Levyasan, Mazel Adur Dagim, and maybe that's part of why come Rabba Shachti Reb Zeira. Rabba got up and he slaughtered Reb Zeira.
When did Shkita on the Levyasan?
No, it's the Levyasan was doing Shkita on the Shorabor.
The other way also.
Yeah. That I think is just to kill it.
Just to kill it.
Yeah.
There's no.
It says Koro.
Formal,
it says
he, no
it says he it slashed him. It sounds like it was just to
Thank you.
Thank you. I think they were looking downstairs. Yeah.